Okay. Now, oh, here we go. Figure out what the Bible one. So recently in our Wednesday class, which we're studying the apocalypse, there's a very good comment that was directed towards our young Bible students and towards the rest of us as well, regarding the importance of studying our Bibles. And specifically, in order to have any chance of understanding what was revealed to John in the apocalypse, a Bible student must first have a thorough understanding of the prophetic word in the Old Testament. This not only includes the books written by the prophets of Israel, which use many of the symbols that we later see in the apocalypse, but also encompasses the entirety of the recorded accounts of the history of mankind and of Israel, which are filled with types, allegories, and prophecies, and that includes, of course, the promises as well. This morning, we'd like to review a case where an individual from Israel's history is used in the apocalypse to describe both individuals to entice brethren to turn aside from the truth, and ultimately used as a description of an ecclesiastical system of sin and spiritual fornication. So you probably already know exactly who we're talking about. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, 18 to 23. Revelation 2, 18 to 23. And unto the angel of the ecclesia of Thyatira write, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes likened to a flame of fire, and his feet are likened to fine brass." Of course, we've been studying that recently in our class. "I know thy works, and love, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the ecclesias shall know that I am he which searcheth the hearts and reins, or reins and hearts, excuse me, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Here we have the title of Jezebel used as a description of a group of individuals in Thyatira who teach and seduce the true servants of Yahweh to commit spiritual fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. Our Lord could have simply instructed John to write, "I have a few things against thee, Thyatira, because thou sufferest those who teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication," and so on. But John was specifically instructed to describe these individuals as that woman, Jezebel, in order to recall to mind the most ruinous woman in the history of Israel, the infamous Jezebel, the wife of Ahab. Thus, we must have an understanding of the attributes, actions, and doctrines attributed to this historical Jezebel in order to fully understand how that applied to some in Thyatira, and as we will also consider, the latter-day Jezebel, or harlot system, which is spoken of later in the apocalypse. So first, let's go back and read in 1 Kings chapter 16, beginning at verse 23. First Kings 16, where I read 23 to 33. "In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And he bought the hill of Samaria, of Shemer, for 2 talents of silver, and built on the hill, and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill Samaria. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of Yahweh, and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and his might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Omri slept with his fathers, and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel, And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of Yahweh above all that were before him, including his father. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal and a house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke Yahweh, God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. The first thing to note here is that Ahab's father Omri was the one who built Samaria, which became the capital of Israel and the capital of idolatrous worship under Ahab and Jezebel. It should be noted that Ahab did not start down this path himself. As noted here, Omri, his father, in verses 25 and 26, wrought evil in the eyes of Yahweh and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he had made Israel to sin to provoke Yahweh, God of Israel, to anger with their vanities. Omri is also mentioned over in Micah chapter 6. Just turn over there. Micah 6, 9 to 16. Micah chapter 6, verses 9 through 16. I think I'm going to start at verse 10. We'll begin at 9. Yahweh's voice crieth unto the city, and a man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it. Are there yet treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with a bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, and make thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee. And thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver. And that which thou deliverest will I give unto the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the aloes, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing, and therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people. So here Israel is not in a very good way in the eyes of Yahweh. Note in verse 16 that the idolatrous worship is identified as the statutes of Omri and the works of the house of Ahab, and the counsels of them both. Ahab was trained up in the statutes of Omri, which laid the foundation for his marriage to Jezebel. It is likely the case that Omri created his evil statutes in consult with Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and thus probably had a hand in bringing Ahab and Jezebel together. This brings us to the introduction of Jezebel in verse 31, back in 1 Kings 16. Note the way that Yahweh chose to record this. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. In other words, as if it wasn't wickedness enough already to continue and expand upon Omri's evil reign, Ahab took Jezebel as his wife. So not only was idolatrous worship allowed in Israel under both Omri and Ahab, Ahab goes the extra step and marries the daughter of Ethbaal, serves Baal, and sets up an altar in a grove in the capital city. Ethbaal's name means with or near Baal. Josephus notes that he was originally a priest of Astarte before killing Phelles, the previous king of Sidon, and then he became king himself. If you ever looked up the worship of Astarte, you'll find that it's intertwined with the worship of Baal. So it comes as no surprise that Jezebel was such a faithful follower of both of these false gods. The worship of Baal typically included a statue of the false god that also acted as an altar for sacrifices. It was typically surrounded by poles or trees, which the scripture often refers to as groves, that were meant to represent Astarte. Worshippers of Baal believed that he had control over the elements, such as the weather, rain, fire, lightning, and so forth. It was also considered to be a sun god. So you see when the scripture refers to the worshippers of the sun in Ezekiel, Ezekiel saw the worshippers of the sun on the eastern side of the temple. It's likely at the point that they were worshiping Baal. Worshippers of Astarte, also known as Asherah, Ashtaroth, and Ishtar, considered her to be the queen of heaven, and she was supposedly associated with fertility in terms of people and in terms of crops. Worship of both of these idols together then was often a feast wrought with fornication and other heinous acts, including bloodletting. Consider then that Jezebel was raised amongst this most depraved worship of the flesh. She remained faithful to thy idolatrous worship her entire life. In this sense, Jezebel herself stands as a symbol of the worship of the flesh in complete opposition to the worship of Yahweh. If we look ahead to the harlot system of today, she may put on an outward show and be painted up as Jezebel was, and we'll read that a little bit later. But ultimately, it is a system of the flesh and serves the flesh. Following Ahab's marriage to Jezebel, he immediately set up an altar to Baal, as well as groves to Astarte at her beckoning. So look at 1 Kings 21, and verse 25. 1 Kings 21, 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. That phrase stirred up is the Hebrew suth, S-U-T-H, meaning to prick, seduce, entice, provoke, stir up. So you may have heard the term soothsaying. It's the same idea indicated here. You have seduction or enticement. It is because of this that Ahab did sell himself to work wickedness. That phrase did sell himself is the Hebrew word makar, M-A-K-A-R, meaning to sell literally into slavery. To sell literally into slavery. By heeding the seductions of Jezebel, Ahab was enslaved to sin. Remember in the letter to Thyatira, that woman Jezebel was said to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This was literally the case for Jezebel when it came to Ahab and the kingdom of Israel. They should have been the servants of Yahweh, and Ahab did have moments of clarity, but unfortunately, any such moments were quickly overcome by Jezebel as she brought him back to idolatrous worship. In the first century, it was likely literal in a certain sense as well, in terms of idolatrous worship. Baal and Astarte were transformed into Zeus and Aphrodite in Greece and Jupiter and Venus in Rome. Many aspects of the pagan worship of Jezebel had been carried forward throughout history, including the sacrifices and other actions. But in addition to the literal aspect, any departure from the truth held by the first century ecclesia was considered spiritual fornication. And this is a concept shown throughout Scripture. On the one hand, you have the faithful bride of Christ, the chaste virgin, a virtuous woman, representing the true ecclesia, versus the unfaithful harlot, a fornication, eyes full of adultery, and so forth, and Israel is described this way, now representing the ecclesia having gone astray. For sake of time, we'll look at just one example of this. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. And we're going to read all the way through verse 20. Yahweh said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot in these groves. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away, and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. It came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet, for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, said Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto me, this backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words towards the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith Yahweh, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against Yahweh thy God, and hast scattered the ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahweh. Turn, O backsliding children, saith Yahweh, for I am married unto you, and I will take you of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith Yahweh, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of Yahweh, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of the nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and thou shalt not turn away from me. Verse 20, surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith Yahweh. So certainly in this case, of course, Israel can, and Judah both, at least at this point, they were both taken into captivity and scattered. But of course, we have this future day to look forward to as well, when they'll be brought back into the land. But again, we're looking at them being considered, while they were married unto Yahweh, they were as a wife that has dealt treacherously in departing from her husband. Excuse me, departing from her husband. Getting back to the works of Jezebel, let's go read the account of the contest on Mount Carmel. Let's go back to, we'll start at 1 Kings 17, verse 1. The account is actually in chapter 18, but it's an important context. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Just as a complete aside, we have these children's Bibles that have pictures in them, which can be helpful, but of course, as parents, we go through them because they sometimes include things that aren't actually in the accounts, and sometimes they leave a whole lot out. And this is one that happens to be a favorite of my children, but I always try to add in all these details. So I hope they're listening up this morning. All right, 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as Yahweh God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my words. We read that because this gives us good context when we get later in the next chapter. Let's go over to chapter 18, verse 1. So there was a famine in the land because of lack of rain. Chapter 18, I will first read verse 1, and then we'll skip down to 17. It came to pass after many days that the word of Yahweh came to Elijah in the third year, which is 3 years of drought, in the third year, saying, go, show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Skip down to verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of Yahweh, thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves, or Astarte, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together to Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Yahweh be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of Yahweh, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock from themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of Yahweh. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called upon the name of Baal, and from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leapt upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god, either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves, after the manner with knives and with lancet, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of Yahweh that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of Yahweh came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Yahweh, and made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid them on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. The water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And he filled, the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Yahweh Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Yahweh, hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Yahweh, he is the God. Yahweh, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he had cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. It came to pass that the 7th time he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. They said, Go, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, for the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Again, it had been 3 years since there was any rain. There was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of Yahweh was upon Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And Ahab told Jezebel, skipping it, we're going to go through verse 2 here. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life, as the life of one of them, by tomorrow about this time. So we've already discussed earlier the worship of Baal and Astarte, as we have just evidenced here, and the ridiculousness of it. So we'll just note a few things. Since Baal was supposed to control the weather, and that's what these worshipers believed, Yahweh stopped the rain for 3 years. During this drought, Jezebel sought to cut off or kill the prophets of Yahweh. And it should have been, of course, Ahab's lot to drive out the idolatrous worship and practices of his father from the land of Israel, but instead, the true prophets of Yahweh were driven into hiding. We didn't read it, but specifically 100 were hidden by the faithful Obadiah. That's back at the beginning of chapter 18. Compare this ecclesially with Thyatira. There were those who suffered or permitted Jezebels in their midst. Try that again. Comparing this ecclesially to Thyatira, there were those who suffered or permitted Jezebels in their midst. They should have driven them out, and hopefully they did after receiving the letter. Following the events on Mount Carmel, Elijah speaks with Ahab and tells him to bring, Elijah speaks with Ahab and tells him to bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the grove again, prophets of Astarte, to Mount Carmel. And as we read, the event showed the folly of their idolatrous worship, which amounted to nothing. But Yahweh sent fire from heaven, again, something Baal was supposed to have control over, according to their worshippers. The fire consumed not only the sacrifice, but the wood and the stone and all the water, all 12 barrels worth of water. The prophets of Baal were then slain, and rain was again sent by Yahweh. And this really should have been the turning point in Ahab's life, of which there were multiple times where hopefully it was a turning point. And it was for a brief moment, but what happened? Jezebel decrees, note that Ahab's not in control here, Jezebel decrees that Elijah should be killed, and the fleshly worship was continued as if nothing had changed. One last event to briefly cover before we get to Jezebel's demise. So look at 1 Kings 21. There's a lot we could look at in this account, but we're just going to focus on a few things here. First, we'll read verses 1 through 29. It came to pass after these things that Naboth, his name, by the way, means fruitful, that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace, or right up against the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near to my house. And I'll give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I'll give you the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, Yahweh forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Ahab came to his house heavy and displeased, because the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, and turned away his face, and would not eat bread. But Jezebel's wife came to him, and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad, that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou not now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise, eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And men of his city, even the elders and nobles who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and it was written in the letters which she had sent unto him, as it was written. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city, and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. Let's see how far I wanted to go here. Make sure I don't get ahead of myself. Okay. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said unto Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. It came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of Yahweh came to Elijah the Tishbite, here comes Elijah again, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he has gone down to possess it. Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, Hast thou killed, and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, In the place where the dogs licks the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of Yahweh. Again, sold thyself. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast now provoked me to anger, and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake Yahweh, and this is what we're going to focus on, saying, "The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city of the dogs, excuse me, the city the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself," again, that's used over and over, "he did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things as did the Amorites, whom Yahweh cast out before the children of Israel. It came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put on sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. The word of Yahweh came to Elijah Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days, and in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house." So again, there's a lot we could focus on here. We're just going to focus on a few things. First, note that once again, Jezebel acts in the place of Ahab, writing letters in his name, using his seal, and so on. Ahab technically has the rule over Israel, but she is in control. The same will be true of the Catholic Church, having reigned over the kingdoms of men for a time. So again, we're jumping ahead to Revelation. Let's look at Revelation 17, 1-6. Revelation 17, 1-6. Again, the Catholic Church, this Babylonish system, the future Jezebel, we might say, will have reign over the kingdoms of men for a time. Chapter 17, verse 1, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, that sits on these nations, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, that idolatrous worship. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. For he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." So this is the after the events, after Christ and saints have returned, in Zion, rather. And she, as we have often said in the past, she has her foot in the stirrup now, that she will, at that point, ride the beast. Verse 4, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." And it's been mentioned in the past, great admiration is not a positive thing here. Shock might be a term we might use today. So again, so keep that in mind. So again, we don't have a time to do a full in-depth review of Naboth, but if you studied this before, again back in 1 Kings 21, you remember that he is a type of Christ. Again, his name means fruitful. He was faithful unto his inheritance that was given to him by Yahweh, as was our Lord, such that false accusers had to be set up by Jezebel to have him be put to death. Our Lord, of course, was also faithful in his mission at his first coming, and false accusations were set up against him in order to put him to death. And you know, we'll read some of those when we get into our memorials today. What was it that was accused of Naboth, that he had committed against not only God, but also the king? He sins against God and the king. So you'll note as we get to the memorial service that both of those were aspects that were accused of Christ. Against God, the high priest specifically will say that, and against the king, you think of, we have no king but Caesar. But I'm getting off track here, but you get the point. Further, as we consider the apocalypse from the first century ecclesia and onwards, we would align Naboth with those faithful saints who were later killed by the apostate Catholic Church, because they would not worship the beast and his image. Let's look at that briefly in Revelation 20, verse 4. So again, Naboth being a type of Christ, but again, if we're looking back to this first century ecclesia, those of the Jezebel class, those of, we might say, the Antipas class. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the lives of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years." We'll read some about this system's demise here in a moment. So first, let's go back and summarize the characteristics we have of Jezebel. First, idolatrous, including fornication, eating sacrifices to idols, and other obscene acts. Second, a seducer. She stirred up Ahab continually. In cases where he may have had a chance, she enticed him back. Third, a murderer of the faithful. She set out to kill the prophets of Yahweh, including Elijah. And fourth, a controller. She was the true ruler of Israel at the time. She acted in place of Ahab, using his name and his seal, and directing him however she saw fit. These are all descriptions that we can apply to the current harlot system, both now and, of course, more so after the return of Christ. She is a pretender over a supposed Christendom on the earth, but she will be cast down. Let's now consider Jezebel's demise. 2 Kings chapter 9, beginning at verse 5. This is going back to our original point. This is why we need to have understanding of all those things in the Old Testament. So when we get to the apocalypse, we know what it's pointing forward to. 2 Kings chapter 9, beginning at verse 5. Now back up to verse 4. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead, and when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. And he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of all of us? And he said, to thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and said unto him, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of Yahweh, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, and I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahweh at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. And I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha son of Ahijah. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came forth to the servants of his lord, and one said unto him, is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, you know the man and his communication. And they said, false, tell us now. And he said, thus and thus spake he to me, saying, thus saith Yahweh, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs and blew the trumpet, saying, Jehu is king. This was after the demise of Ahab. Jehu is king. And so Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had kept Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, because of Hazael, king of Syria. King Joram was returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, if it be your minds, then let none go forth nor escape out of the city to go tell it in Jezreel. We'll skip down to verse 21. And Joram said, make ready. And his chariot was made ready. And Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out in his chariot, and they went out against Jehu, and met him in the portion of Naboth, the Jezreelite. So you see where we are now. And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, and he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. And Joram turned his hands and fled and said to Ahaziah, there is treachery, O Ahaziah. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram, between his arms. The arrow went out of his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, Yahweh laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith Yahweh, and I will requite thee in this plat, saith Yahweh. Now therefore take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of Yahweh. When Ahaziah the king of Judah saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house, and Jehu followed after him, and said, smite him also in the chariot. And they did so, at the going up of Gur, which is by Ibleam, and he fled to Megiddo, and died there. And his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem, and buried him in his sepulchre with his fathers in the city of David. In the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, began Ahaziah king to reign over Israel. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. She painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. I'll just pause here for a minute. There's two ways to look at this. Some look at it in the sense of, well, maybe she was going to attempt to seduce Jehu as she did Ahab. But I would probably throw in here, really, she was showing herself, she still believed herself to be a queen and no widow. Verse 31. And Jehu entered in at the gate, and she said, "Had Zimri peace, who slew his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down. Some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trode her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, "Go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is the king's daughter." And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came again and told him, and he said, "This is the word of Yahweh, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field, and the portion of Jezreel so that they shall not say, This is Jezebel." Thus ended the life of Jezebel, the ruinous, idolatrous, and murderous queen. And thus will end the harlot system spoken of in Revelation. Let's turn over to chapter 18 of Revelation, and we'll consider this overthrow. You'll note quite a few parallels. We'll begin at verse 1, we'll read 1 through 8, and then we'll skip down to verse 21. "After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. It has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of unclean, every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins, and receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities, just as God remembered the iniquities of Jezebel and brought them down upon her head. Verse 6, Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore her plagues shall come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, or completely consumed. For strong is Yahweh Elohim who judgeth her." And of course, Jezebel was also completely consumed. Let's look down at verse 21. "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and it shall be found no more at all." Consider how Jezebel met her end. She was thrown from her window. "And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee." Speaking of the Babylonish system. "No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the lamp shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." So again, we can see how Jezebel points forward to this system. Let's also read chapter 19. Verses 1 and 2, what happens after this fact. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto Yahweh our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Brethren, let us ensure that we do not allow any Jezebel-like influences to enter into our lives or to distract us from the hope of Israel." This was the point of the letter that was written to Thyatira. They were to throw out these Jezebel individuals. Rather, let us work to be chaste virgins, comforting ourselves together, edifying one another, and abounding in the work of the Lord. We'd like to close by reading a more positive account in Revelation chapter 14, read verses 1 to 5. Revelation chapter 14, 1 to 5. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four living ones and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow after the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Thank you.